Well, we've got time. Thank you very much, Adam, for one or two questions. I'm sure that it has raised a lot of questions. Who wants to give it a go?
One of the elements that arises out of what you've been talking about is fear, because the world, or the Western world, and increasingly the Eastern world as well, bases its philosophy on consumerism. Now, in a lot of people's minds, the idea of an egalitarian world, a financially egalitarian world, means that the profit, the gross profit motive, has to be put to one side, and the inevitable fear that arises out of that is that people are going to lose their jobs. Now, one of the things that drives people is the idea of betterment, personal betterment for themselves and more often than not their families as well. How do you... I personally cannot see this being sorted out. You talked about the idea of doing it now.
Right, yeah.
I cannot see that that is a real proposition.
Sure.
By virtue of the fact that it tends to be a generation problem, a generation's attitude of mind that drives the economic, political thinking of any particular era. So how do you get over this particular problem?
Well, it's a big question, and in a way it goes to the heart of the major argument against a wholesale reorganization of the economy on this scale, is that it's a question of human motivation as well, that we are, you know, how do we motivate ourselves in a society which, you know, removes certain basic needs from the market economy. But what we're saying as an organization is that, you know, it's not about getting rid of commerce. It's not about getting rid of the ideas of business, of efficiency, and so on. But they need to be kept to non-essential goods and services. I mean, in the NGO world, I suppose you could say there's kind of two broad paradigms, and that many people are working within the existing structures to, you know, create betterment, to create more equality and justice as they can. And there's the other camp, which is, you know, kind of spelling out the ideals of where things have to go. And clearly, as an organization, we're in this latter camp. We're saying we're really spelling out the vision, as it were, but also looking at the policy measures which are necessary to, you know, bridge that gap. Our perspective is, and the consensus of a lot of progressive and analysts, is that the financial crisis is only beginning, but it's going to get a lot worse. And as such, the way we're organizing the economy at the moment is unsustainable. And there's a whole realm of thinking around this. The very basic point that you're raising, that about betterment, I think if people are given the security of their basic needs as a universal right, then it will actually mean half the world contributing to creativity, to the world consciousness, as it were. And that will be a huge lifting of pressure on the world. I think we're all, you know, if it is a unified consciousness, as, you know, Alice Bailey speaks of, then we all feel the weight of the fact that so many people are dying or without their basic human rights. And when they're given those rights, there will be a groundswell of a kind of upliftment, I believe. And the basic point I'm making is that it's possible to secure human rights immediately. Of course, it's idealistic and utopian to talk about securing it immediately, but theoretically it's possible. And we have to keep that in our minds when we're campaigning and so on. You know, when you look at the issues, they're very complex. But I can only, ultimately, you know, the point you make, it's a very deep argument that you can get drawn into. But I believe that, you know, sharing will not impact upon the everyday lives of people and lower our standards of living. On the contrary, it will actually raise the majority of standard of living for everyone. The UN did another report at the end of 2007 that showed if global wealth was shared equally, of course, you wouldn't want to share wealth equally, but if it was, then we could all, everyone on Earth, 6.2 billion then it was, we could all have something like $30,000 a year income. So it's, of course, it's theoretical, it's just to make a point, but the fact is, you know, it's not about lowering standards in the rich countries. Of course, there's the whole argument about simplicity. We have to live more simply because of ecological limits. But it's really about commercialization, market forces. Milton Friedman and, you know, Friedrich von Hayek, these ideologues, believe that if you rely on market forces, they'll create this kind of... He saw it as a perfect scientific system. What we've seen now is that it doesn't work. The market forces are blind. They're neutral, but they don't organize effectively. What they've created is chaos. And we have to have a different principle, not market forces and commercialization, a different principle upon which to organize a reform of the global economy. And we're outlining how sharing as a principle can be a way of guiding that reform. So I know I'm not directly answering your question. I'm kind of dodging the point, but but you know, you could go on. So, but thank you.
Thanks, Adam.